Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Thank you for joining us. You are rocking with the best. Do not adjust your podcast. We'll be back with our regular scheduled programming next week. But for now, my name is Blake Bolden. Currently, I am the Growth and Inclusion Specialist and Pro Scout with the LA Kings. Joining me today are my sisters on the ice from Philadelphia, home of the Roots, and Jill Scott. Currently, she'll be holding it down behind the bench at Arcadia University. Let me introduce you all to Kelsey Colzer.
What up, everyone? I'm so excited to be here and be with these beautiful ladies. I'm also joining the takeover, representing Steel City, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. More importantly, representing Team Canada's women's hockey team. The boys call her the Green-Eyed Bandit.
That's right.
Please welcome Sarah Nurse.
Hello. Can we just appreciate how good that intro was, Steve? Wow. But I'm so happy to be here, guys. And to round out the queens, last but certainly not least, we have a Yale graduate majoring in the history of science, medicine, and public health, recently just returned from the NWHL bubble, a defenseman for the Metropolitan Riveters, number 71, Soroya Tinker.
Hey.
Thanks for the horn, Blake. I love it. What's up, ladies? Of course, glad to be here talking over the Soul and Ice podcast. Don't think the listeners will mind us classing it up a bit. And speaking of class, our special guest on the show is the queen of all queens in hockey, Angela James. We are going to speak with her in a few, but first, time to catch up with you. What's been going on out in sunny LA, Blake?
Girl, it is sunny. I had to fix my lighting situation. It's beautiful here. Not too much. I just got off the ice and with my girls program. And I actually just saw someone wearing number 71 Soroya Tinker jersey. Hey. And I was like, you repping, my brother. Like, thank you. I love that. And what else? What else? I actually just got the text from the owner of Vibero, who is the production company of my BB signature stick line. It is up, it is ready, it is pre-sale until my birthday, which is March 10th. So be sure to copy one.
Let's go.
Sarah, what's up with you?
Oh my goodness, it is absolutely freezing here. I'm in Hamilton, Ontario. We're in the negatives. I'm sure Soraya, you feel my pain. It's freezing here, but we've been up to a lot. We've been keeping busy. Recently, we actually had the Tim Hortons and Barbie doll launch, which I was so excited about. I actually happened to show you guys. This is our beautiful black Barbie doll here. She's stunning. She's excellent. Yeah. And I actually want to show you. I have my own little one-of-a-kind one that looks like me. Right there. We got those eyebrows, though.
Right.
So, yeah, and so that was such an awesome campaign because we just want little girls to see themselves represented everywhere and, you know that it's cool to play Barbies and play hockey. And so I think that it was such an awesome, awesome thing. And I mean, Blake, I think the work that you've been doing with Vibero and then the Kings, I think that you've been able to show people and been a great example of the fact that you can take on different roles while you're playing and post-career. And Kelsey has also been doing that. For those of you who don't know, Kelsey is the head women's hockey coach at the University of Arcadia. And so obviously it's a little different right now, but how has that been going?
Yeah, it's been exciting. Now that we're officially in 2021, stuff is real, to not have any profanity going on in here. Stuff is real though. So we're officially in the year that the program is starting. So we got like 8 months left to get everything situated, obviously. But I mean, I think fortunate for myself, I've started back in 2019 technically. So, you know, we've been just running and rolling and, you know, chugging along, you know, as opposed to, I mean, you know, last year I was in rinks most weekends, pretty much 3 out of 4 weekends a month. This year, you know, it's been weird. I've been, you know, up in the office upstairs, just on my computer, watching on Live Barn, I mean, you know, not sponsored, but Live Barn has gotten so much of that money this year. but it's, you know, it's exciting. You know, we're finalizing our roster, getting down to those last like 2-3 players that we're, you know, waiting on decisions for. We get to the exciting part of decorating the locker room, coming up with uniforms. You know, I mean, ordering equipment. I mean, that was always my favorite part. And Blake, you best believe that I am taking the opportunity to suggest that we get some BB line Verbero sticks.
Okay. House. I feel that. I feel that, girl.
I'm going to work it in somehow. It's going to at least be proposed. So you might be getting Arcadia representation. Let's just hope that there's some left, because Sarah, your dolls, they sold out in like record time. So
yes, I know
it's
that
it's hard BB to get stick. Those up in Canada.
BB there sticks will be flying off the shelf.
But yeah, I mean, life's been exciting. You know, lots of time at home. Adopted a dog this year, like most people, but you know, we're excited to get the season started in just a few months. So we're moving up, and you know, we're moving on and moving forward and happy. So I think everything's been really, really exciting. Speaking of exciting, I know Soroya just got back from Lake Placid and the NWHL bubble. Please, please, please give us the inside scoop.
Yeah, obviously just getting back, you mentioned being happy. I think for me, that was one thing that came up a lot for me in the bubble. I really enjoyed being at the rink and being around my teammates. So I think overall, the NWHL bubble went really well. Obviously, we didn't get to finish, which is super upsetting, but we had a big light shone on women's ice hockey. And I think whenever we have that, I think that's awesome for us all as female hockey players to see. So I definitely had a great time. And the league also did an awesome job of letting our voices be heard. So me and the other fellow Black players in the league, there's 5 of us right now. We all were able to get together and decide what we're going to do as Black girls in the league and share what we wanted to do in terms of showing our support for other Black women in the game. So like Sarah said, representation matters with her Barbie. I'm pretty sure my mom went out and bought like 10 of them. So if anybody needs a hockey Barbie, hit up Mama Tinker. But yeah, overall, I had a great time in the bubble and looking forward to what women's hockey has.
I love that. I mean, I was talking to some people at Sportsnet just about the coverage of the NWHL and how they showed highlights every single night of the games. And I thought that it was amazing for the sport in general. And it's something that I've never seen before. And so I'm hoping that coverage of women's hockey continues because it was awesome. I mean, everybody seems pretty busy. I'm glad everybody's staying safe and healthy. And I don't know about you guys, but I am absolutely ecstatic to be able to talk to the one and only Angela James in just a few. But I think before we get to that, I would love to just chat with you guys because obviously we're all very passionate about, you know, growing the game and inclusion, and especially when it comes to young minority girls. And so I know, Soraya, you've been doing a bunch of work really closely with Renee and Black Girl Hockey Club. So you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. I've been so lucky to work with Black Girl Hockey Club and Renee Hess, who's a big supporter. Obviously, our season didn't go how it wanted to, but at the same time, I was able to raise money starting at the very beginning of the NWHL bubble. I started it with an original goal of $5,000 for the Black Girl Hockey Club Scholarship Fund, and we are currently at around $27,000 or $28,000.
Yes.
So I'm so excited to be able to give that money to Black Girl Hockey Club and provide these girls with scholarships for their equipment or whatever they may need. So I think that's awesome in pushing the game forward, and I know you guys are also doing the same.
That's amazing, Soraya. I'm so proud of you. I just feel like ever since you've been dropped into the hockey space, you have been blowing up. Your voice is heard. I want to know, like, how was that? Like, having your first professional game, like, were you nervous? Were you excited? Like, what did that feel like for you?
Thank you so much, Blake. Awesome. I get a good job and I'm proud of you from Blake Bolton. So But yeah, playing that first pro game, I was like more excited than anything else. I never expected to play pro just because I think a lot of people know like my love for the games kind of wavered throughout my career, but I'm so happy that I decided to play and got to step on that ice and play another game, just because I'm sure you all know what that last game of your college career felt like in that last playoff game or whatever it may be. So I think that's so awesome and was very excited to play. And also follow after Kelsey with being a Riveter. So Riveter for life now.
Yeah. Yeah. You're representing. Representing. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was interesting because I feel like, you know, I feel like you and I, we had, you know, kind of slightly different college experiences, but like, you know, kind of very similar at the same time. You know, kind of, you know, can you go, I'm curious as to kind of why that love kind of wavered throughout your college career, even like kind of youth career.
Yeah, I think that as Black women in the game, I'm sure you all have felt excluded at some point in time. But I think for me, I just found that I was always on teams that were very clicky. And very, not very supportive of me in terms of the way that I like to express myself and what I think of when I go to the rink and what hockey means to me. So I think that overall, just not feeling fully included with my team and not being able to open up and be supported by the other girls was the biggest thing. But in comparison to your career at Princeton, like how was that for you being at another Ivy?
Yeah, it was obviously, I think, you know, Ivy League lends a kind of unique experience. And I think that I kind of understand, you know, where you're coming from in that sense. I mean, it's definitely a completely new environment when you first get there. And it's nothing like you might expect. I think, you know, I feel like this is from outside knowledge, but I feel like, you know, we as a team at Princeton, you know, I got there at the perfect time where we were, you know, kind of going through a culture shift as a team and like, you know, really shifting to expecting like excellence out of each other, no matter whether it was on the ice or in the locker room or, you know, whatever the case might be. And I feel like that really kind of helped me transition into the college game and find that home in my teammates. But it's, you know, it's something that you really, you know, it really challenges you at the beginning, stepping onto a campus like that and really feeling that like, how do I belong here kind of feeling. But, you know, it's something that hockey, I think it definitely had its ups and downs. So I definitely see where you're coming from with that one.
Sure. So 71, tell us about that. I know JT Brown loves 71 too. He's made a few donations in your honor. So give us a little feedback. Yes. Number 71.
He sure has. So I guess anybody who doesn't know, JT donated 71 Twitch subscriptions so that people could tune in and watch the NWHL games. So I was very thankful for that and excited that he pointed out number 71. But I'm 71. Growing up, my mom was a huge baseball fan. So she grew up loving Kelly Gruber and her favorite number was 17. I was born on February 17th, but on all my teams, I've either not been able to be 17 or at Yale, it's retired due to Mandy Schwartz, who passed away. So I decided to flip it around to 71. Tupac was born June 16th, 1971. So
that's my birthday.
Oh, really?
June 16th. Yeah. Not damn. 71. Not 71, but June 16th.
But yeah, so definitely went the 71 route in terms of choosing that in honor of Tupac. But yeah.
That's so awesome. Sweet. Yeah.
Soraya, you're also a really good painter. Oh, sorry to cut you off, girl.
No, you're fine.
Soraya, you're also a really good painter. And I saw that you were painting Tupac and some other folks. Tell us about how you got into that, because I just went to paint night and I sent you a picture of my picture of what I painted and it looked nothing close to what you'd be popping off. So let me in.
I guess so. I'll start off. My mom is a really good artist. She doesn't like to think she is, but I grew up kind of seeing her paintings and her artwork around the house from her high school days, but she never took it anywhere. I started painting in high school, then kind of set that aside, focused on sports and my academics. And then since COVID hit, I picked the paintbrush back up and have been painting all through COVID. And I guess I've I've enlightened my talents again. But yeah, I've painted a lot of pictures of Tupac. Lauryn Hill is another go-to. But yeah, painting's just really something that I can get out of my own mind and kind of just focus on something else for the time being and jam out and, you know, dance around a little bit with the paintbrush. You know, I'm sure Blake knows what's up, but but yeah.
That's amazing. Anybody else do anything creative? Or, you know,
for me, it's a garden. Attempting to paint. Once I saw Soraya, I was like, I'm not even gonna tell anybody that I do this anymore. It does not look half as good. But I feel like that's interesting. So it's almost a form of like self-care, you know, and I think that everybody needs to find things, especially during this time of like craziness and uncertainty. Like, we need to find things that make us okay and like calm our headspace and keep our peace. And I think that that's such a good practice of self-care, really.
Yeah. Music, art, books, reading, all of that.
What else have you guys been doing for self-care over COVID?
Oh, man. I know Nurse loves the facial self-care.
You gotta use sunscreen, okay, lady. SPF, okay. SPF all the way. I think it's just nice because it's like 10-15 minutes in my morning where I'm just like, this is all about me, you know. And you need that. This is all about me, ladies.
Green Sarah, how coming for you.
How awkward was it getting that first Instagram message for me where I was just the only first time I've ever talked to Sarah, like via social media at least. And the only, like, I was like, okay, you need to fill me in on what hair products you're using, what skincare are you using? I need a good SPF that doesn't like ghost my face. Like, please give me all the info.
I was dying because I saw this message from Kelsey Colzer and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting a message from Kelsey Colzer. And I look at it and I was like, I got you, girl. I got you SPF that won't make you white as a ghost. I got you hair products that will not be popping off. Like,
I have used those hair products every day since I messaged you. I went to Target, bought them. Gosh, it's a game changer. It really
is. Look at the growth.
You guys, I love it. I love how supportive we are. Like, Sarah, I've only played against you in the P-dub, never like shaking your hand, giving you a hug, but I feel like, you know, we're connected. We're sisters. Kelsey, remember that one showcase we did where we were roommates that one time? Clicked. Ever since then, like, we're all just so supportive, and we need that in the hockey space to build up our culture. And when we talk about growing the game for women and girls in sport, we all got our hands in like these different pots, right? And we're all just coming up together. And I just think it's really cool that we can do that for each other. So let's keep it up.
It was brought to my attention recently that there's like over 10 Black girls in NCAA hockey right now. And it was like, I mean, to me, when that was brought to my attention, and I was like, I was so excited and you know, I mean, just like, again, kind of speechless, because it's so fun to see like the amount of young Black female talent that's coming. And, you know, obviously from the coach's side, I always get the question of like, you know, well, will that be a recruiting focus for you? And like, of course I want it to be, but you know, you're limited to who actually wants to go to your school. Right. But, you know, it's, like, I'd love to get all of your guys' thoughts on like, really, what do we think contributed to that? Cause I got that question and I was like, honestly, I'm not sure, because I mean, hockey's the kind of sport where you got to get in so young, I feel like. So, you know, I was like, I think it goes back to like you, Blake, and, you know, players that were right. I mean, we kind of have on this podcast, I mean, we got Blake. We never really got to play. I mean, like, I don't think we just missed each other in college. We never got to play against each other. Sarah, you and I were in college at the same time, but we never played each other. I know, Soroy, I think we only overlapped like 1 year, maybe. I can't even remember when I graduated at this point. I feel like it's been forever. It hasn't, but I feel like it has. But it's like, you know, we just miss each other. And so it can be hard to kind of create those like connections, like within, you know, supporting each other.
Yeah, I think while we're in it, like it was definitely hard because I was completely familiar with who you were, Kelsey. Like there was no doubt in my mind, like, hey, you're all American, like Patty Cass. Like I knew who you were, but because we never crossed paths, like we never had that opportunity. But I think it's great that we have this like sisterhood. Like I remember the first time I met Soraya and her family, it was just because we were the only Black family in Lake Placid, and we're like, you're here, what are you here for? Hockey? Me too. Like we just kind of connected, and so I think that's so awesome. I know I went to the University of Wisconsin, and Shayla Edwards is there now, and her little sister Layla is going to be there I think next year or a few years from now, and I was able to meet them before they committed, and they were like, you know, Wisconsin, it's a white place, like is it okay for Black people to be there? And I was like, you're not wrong. It is a very, very, very white place. But, you know, I tried to ease their minds a little bit with doing that. And through that, I've been able to establish that connection with them. And they're two both incredible hockey players. And I'm so excited to see their futures. And so, yeah, I know that connection at first is definitely hard. But once you establish it, I think that it's pretty natural.
We're locked in.
Yeah, like you can't get rid of us now.
Yeah.
Tara, how about Team Canada? What's the situation there?
Yeah, well, I think with the rest of the world, there's a ton of uncertainty. With our World Championship, we don't know when it's going to be, where it's going to be. The Men's World Championship was just announced the other day, you know, because, you know, men's professional hockey needs just one more tournament, right? But there's definitely some uncertainty, so we're hoping to hear more very soon. Until then, we're still connecting virtually, and then when we get together, it's a pretty strict and tight bubble, like nothing gets in, nothing gets out, and yeah, we're just kind of going with the flow, just like everybody else,
getting on the ice, training, all of that.
A little bit, 10 people on the ice, that's their max. I don't know about you guys out in LA, but we got 10 people.
Can't do a lot with that. A lot of skills.
No. You were just on the ice, you said, though. Running skills clinics?
Yeah, I was coaching. I coach a San Diego Angels girls program out here, formerly the San Diego Golds. And yeah, just growing the game out here. And San Diego, Los Angeles, we have a lot of diversity where we're at. So it's really fun to see different cultures picking up a stick and playing hockey and to be able to connect with them and just be like, yeah, look, you can do this. Let me try to get you to where you want to go. So I enjoy it a lot.
All right, ladies. Well, so far, so good. I think we should take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll have the one, the only, the legend herself, Miss Angela James.
Our next guest is the queen of all queens, in our opinion. For true hockey fans, you'll understand how great she was when I make these comparisons. She was a pure goal scorer like Mike Bossy. She was aggressive like the Moose Mark Messier. She was called the Wayne Gretzky of women's hockey. She could play any position, but she excelled on defense. She dealt with adversity and persevered through it with grace, as expected. She was one of the first women inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, representing Flemington Park, aka Flemo. Soul brothers and soul sisters, let me introduce you to Angela James. Welcome to the show, and how have you been doing?
I've been doing great, and I'm doing even better now that I'm here with you guys, and I can't wait to, you know, have a great hour of fun and talk and shoot the breeze.
And before, we were so nervous, we're like, oh my gosh, we're meeting the GOAT, like, yes. I was nervous.
Please do not be nervous. I'm in awe here. I'm like a kid in a candy store. This is amazing. You know,
I mean, like, Angela, Miss James, Her Majesty, legend, like, I don't even know what to call you, but obviously this time has been so crazy. And how have you and your family been during this whole COVID time?
Well, you know, Sarah, first of all, I'm in awe here, sitting here talking to you and asking me questions. Throughout this whole COVID things, what a, you know, just a horrible thing to happen around the world. But, you know, it certainly makes us appreciate each other, appreciate our families and the, you know, loved ones. For me and my household, we started off this whole COVID thing not very well. I lost my mother right in March. So decided to retire at the same time and then stay home with my three kids who are all doing online, which, you know, is for me, it's just a mental breakdown in all three of those areas. But I think lastly really is being at home with my kids, because I don't know how anybody can do it, but it's crazy. But in saying that, you know what? I love it. We have played pretty much every board game you can think of. I've been to the liquor store probably more in this past year than I have in 10 years. I do have a 21-year-old, so he's helping me quite a bit in that department. My kids are doing amazing with their studies. You know, I have one in university and two in grade 10. Of course, my boys are doing amazing, you know, great grades. And then my girl, she just rebels. Like, just, you know, everybody told me, you wait till you have a girl. And yeah. So, and other than that, I walk the dog. I try to get out, get some exercise and, do a lot of this stuff, a lot of Zoom stuff and just, you know, meeting people I've never met before. So this is amazing.
I know, I'm so excited to have you on the show. I know pre-COVID times, I did actually get the chance to meet you in person in New York through the NHL Female Hockey Advisory Committee. But I feel like I was kind of robbed because I never really got the chance to like just sit down and ask you all kinds of questions. So I wanted to kind of kick it off by asking you kind of how you got into it and kind of where you grew up and kind of give us that backstory of really like what made you Angela James, the hockey legend?
Well, you know what? The only thing that really made me the hockey legend is just being born before you guys. So you guys are the next generation legends and you guys got to carry on with this torch. But for me, you know what? Probably very similar stories to a lot of people. I grew up in Flemington Park, which is, if you want to relate it to the States a little bit, it's a little bit like Harlem kind of in New York. But Flemington Regent Park in Toronto is the area. So, you know what? We played outside, you know, we didn't have Tube U and we didn't have all these different devices that we could go to. I think we may have had Atari, maybe, if I was lucky to have one of those. So we were outside a lot and, the kids played outside and mostly boys. And a lot of times, for me growing up, in order to play, I had to be the goalie. I didn't really get to play out. I had to be the goalie. I had to get the tennis balls off the forehead, you know, constantly. In order for me to not be the goalie and learn to play out, because I love playing out, I had to find some equipment. Well, you know, growing up in the projects, we didn't have a whole lot of money. So I don't know how it just appeared in my hands. I had a net and some other things, goalie pads. I had other some sticks and stuff. So I was able to call my own game. So, you know, to make a long story short, I finally got to play out and we played road hockey. We had an outdoor arena. I would always go down to the outdoor arena. You know, it's free. So I would go down there from morning to night and play hockey. I borrowed a pair of skates from somebody. And that's how I grew up to learn the game. Of course, later in life, my brother, I found out later in life, I had an older brother and he was actually a goaltender and played hockey. So from that point on, I continued to play, started off in boys hockey.
Andrew, I hear you're pretty like a beast. Like you were like winning fights and just madness out there. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. I get it, you know, women's hockey, the OHL, the Q, the NHL, don't touch me. I'm protected. I need to continue on with my career. But to me, that's not hockey. Do you want to know, honestly, the honest truth? Okay. I was 14 years old and I started playing in the women's league, which is like the CWHL. That's what it was called, the CWHL. And I hadn't gone through puberty yet. And it was body checking back then. So first of all, if they're going to see a little skinny ass little black girl take the puck and go around them, well, what do you think that they're going to do? They're going to just hit me and hit me and hit me, right? So my first year, that's exactly what happened. But then the next year over the summertime, I don't know if it was good cooking or whatever, but I grew, I got bigger. And I got meaner and I got mad. And that's the only reason, that I was a fierce competitor out there.
Love that.
I know you guys are all the same. You guys are just sitting here putting it all on me, but I know you guys are all the same.
I don't know. I wasn't out there hitting people, fighting people. Like, you were absolute beast. Like, that's incredible. And that's what everyone says about you.
Oh, whoa, man. We had some pretty big Donnybrooks, as they would call them. Yeah, I could get into some pretty, you know, I think if Donna Lynn Rosa and Kylie Roberto and Geraldine Heaney and the gang were listening to this, they would know what exactly the one particular fight that happened. You know, the referee ended up getting me off the ice and they said, okay, don't worry, Ange, you only got 4 minutes, okay? Just get off the ice, 4 minutes, right? 10 games later, 10 games I got.
Oh my wow. Gosh.
It was worth it, story. Though. Yeah, it was worth it.
And when you say, you said that you played with older girls and they didn't like you going around them too much out there. Having to play with girls much older than you and having to be tough, how did they treat you and how did that experience make you a better player?
Well, you know, the game of hockey is the game of hockey. Everybody's, you know, when they're playing, they're competing, they're competitive. Growing up in my neighborhood, you know, where sometimes I'd have to fight my way just to get to school. So in a game of hockey where, hey, you're allowed to two-hand somebody, you're allowed to go into the corners and hit, you know, I just, it was just competing for the puck. It was competing to win. And so back then, I've grown a lot since then. I would do anything to win. And that included fighting a lot.
Honestly, you're someone I want on my team any day of the week.
Facts, big facts. Oh my gosh. I'm just so disappointed because when I was younger, I wish like I saw you in being represented and being put on a pedestal. Like I was telling Kwame the other day, I would have your poster like everywhere in my room, just all over the place. Like I had Brendan Shanahan, I had Mike McDonald, like I had all these people that didn't look like me. And do you ever think about, you know, how much of a difference you would have made if you had that? Or how does that make you feel? It's just a thought.
Well, you know, that's really tough. Back then, first of all, there wasn't social media. There wasn't a whole lot of attention being paid, never mind myself, but into women's hockey. And, you know, Blake, I'm not even going to go there, but I'm a lot older than you. You're probably young enough to be my daughter. So that gap there really is quite large. The other thing is that posters. So now my daughter and just doing these kinds of things, if we had an opportunity to do back then, create more awareness, you know, like we would go on and we would do, you know, like the WIC Fests of the worlds, and the New York Rangers, they do women's, I forget what they call it, Ranger Rookie or something like that. And it creates awareness and knowing people, whether it be in the US and Canada and Europe and so forth. There's people that are phenomenal players that are in Europe that I grew up with that I'm sure people don't even know and know of. And hopefully one day they will through the pedestal of the International Hockey Hall of Fame and the Hockey Hall of Fame and so on and so forth. And I think by us all starting to get recognition and awareness, it's only going to create more. I know back in the day, I would get the odd email from mothers saying, you know, my daughter's, and you know what, it could have even been your mother saying, help my daughter. And I probably was like, oh, I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know if I'm going to say the right things. And, you know, I think that's an opportunity now for you guys. You guys make sure. Do you guys have posters of yourselves? Get some posters.
Sarah has a Barbie.
Oh, yes. That's right, Sarah. That's right.
Got a Barbie.
Sarah took it to the next level.
She sure did.
Posters.
It's like paper. Nah, yeah. We're at the plastic level now. Come on.
Do you know what, Sarah? And you know what? I don't know if you guys, if I could talk about this, but they asked me to submit something on Barbie, right? And I had to really tell them that I never had a Barbie, and I had a Cabbage Patch doll, but it was the black one because those were the only ones that were left on the shelves because everything else was sold out and nobody wanted to buy the black Cabbage Patch doll. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Mm-hmm. Honest truth. So I'm like going, well, I don't think they'll be doing a Barbie on me. But your Barbie rocks. I coach a number of different young black girls, Chinese girls, Indian girls, and they all got your Barbie. So yeah. I'll tell you, your Barbie's not going to be the one left on the shelf. I'll tell you that much. So I'm really proud of that. But you guys make sure that the next generation of hockey players and it's very hard to get to your status, your level. So if you get an opportunity, take advantage of it, get those, you know, take a chance and get those posters made, do those advertisements, get in there and get that out, because that's only going to help the other young girls that are aspiring or afraid to even attempt to try and play the game of hockey, because you know, still there's still that perception that, you know, hockey's dangerous and you're going to get hurt and things like that. And you know, my daughter, you know, she's 15. She gets it all the time from her friends that hockey's a vicious sport, and they don't know why she even plays. So I don't know if I answered your question, Blake.
Yeah, no, you did. Absolutely.
That's the only thing that really comes to mind here.
I think with kind of going along that with the visibility piece, obviously we got to get down into the nitty gritty. And obviously the first time that, you know, women's hockey was shown on the Olympic stage, which has continued to be the kind of mecca and where women's hockey is the most important, I guess. And you were left off of that roster. And, you know, to this day, the disrespect still just gets me. And I guess Cassie Campbell actually just said the other day that had you been on that roster, they probably would have won in 98. And so how much did that experience, I guess, affect you personally and also professionally?
Oh, that's a lot of information in that question, Sarah.
Sorry.
You're killing me.
Sorry.
You know, it's good thing Kwame gave me these questions 5 minutes before this interview. But back then, decisions had to be made, and I'd be the first to tell you that my friends that were going through the whole Olympic experience, and I wasn't the only one who was left off that year. So I have to tell you that, you know, I can relate to others as well. But I don't think from that point, if I wasn't the controversy of that Olympic year, there was a whole lot of other controversy, and it just wasn't a good year for the team. And in saying that, I put total responsibility on the coaching staff for that happening. So because of that, I don't think anybody could have helped them win that goal. But in saying that, I know that I would have scored some goals to certainly help them.
Totally.
You've been humble. Yes.
But, you know, and if I couldn't score, I would have knocked a few people out so that they couldn't. So
there you go.
Yeah. You know, I certainly would have went to bat for my country no matter what. But that was a devastating time, and absolutely, you know, I wanted to represent my country at that. It was the first Olympics, and, you know, it was out of my control. I didn't have any say to whether I could be on the team or not. So, you know, I packed my bag and drove across Calgary, went into Montana, had a prime rib Cajun dinner, and the rest is history. You know, after that, a lot of great things happen, and you know, through tragedy and adversity and stuff, you know, we're sitting here today having this conversation. So sometimes things happen for a reason, and a lot of great things happened after that. You know, I got a dog. I had three children after that, you know, great family, great history, a lot of great things, and the next generation goes in there, and geez, you know, we've come a long ways, but we haven't come that far.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure that maybe we'll get into some of those other questions.
What you said, Ange, is so true. I mean, you're so humble, but like, there's no doubt you would have helped them win a gold medal. Like, facts, you're an amazing player. Everything that I've heard from every single person that said something about you, you were a difference maker. And just even a transition to USA Hockey, I know that Kelsey and myself have worn a USA jersey and have been privileged. And there has not been a single person of color on that US national team ever to represent in the Olympics. And so, like you said, there is so much more that we need to do as far as growth.
Speaking of speaking of adversity, I guess I'll go into asking you if you have one specific instance or a time that stands out to you where you felt discriminated against when you were playing, or specific hardships that stand out in your mind that have affected the way your playing career has played out.
Well, you know, I'm pretty fortunate that my upbringing, although it wasn't, you know, full of material things, it was full of a lot of love and determination. And so when I was growing up, you know, I took bumps and bruises all along the way. So when I'm out on the rink and, you know, somebody says something to me, you know, I was taught to take care of it myself. So that's where, you know, when we're talking about all the stuff and all the trouble that I was getting into, a lot of that is a result of me being a survivor and me making sure that nobody gets the best of me. Now, in saying that, there were a few incidences where I lost it. And, you know, my teammates can probably attest to that too, where we had a situation where it was, this is hard to think. It was a teammate, Team Canada teammate, and we were at a national championship and lining up on a face-off, and turned to me and said something. And, you know, back then I lost it. So I went down and, you know, I pretty much took her out. And so, because an ambulance had to be called, so, and she had to be taken away and stuff. You know, I was told I was gone from the tournament. And if it wasn't for the likes of my coaches, who, and my teammates, who always defended me and always had my back, that person who said something to me would have been eliminated as well. And I don't really want to say who it is because they're still in the sport, but at the end of the day, we were both playing in that championship game. But as far as I'm concerned, the whole incident got just swept under the rug and never really dealt with. You know, today now, you know, more people are being trained in terms of sensitivity, in terms of respect, in terms of, you know, racial discrimination and things. And that's what we got to continue to do. Lots of other times, of course, playing in my minor hockey, I've had incidences that have affected me that and you know what? You always end up looking the worst out of it all, but people don't hear what's being said or what's being done. And one thing that I've learned along the way, both in my my career working in sport, as well as a player and a parent, is you never know really when you are being discriminated against, because a lot of times they're telling you that it's because of this or because of that, or we don't have room for you or whatever. It's very, very hard to prove the reasons why you're not getting that spot, or the reason why, like, I remember back when I got released for the national team, it was because I was a defensive liability. Well, we were training for 6 months. If I was a defensive liability, if you were a good coach, then I think you can work with somebody who's a defensive liability or that scores so many of your goals and stuff like that. So something really stinks there. Like, obviously you're not a good coach then if you can't figure that out. Right. Right, Kels? Cause Kels, yeah. You're a coach now, right? So you know that regardless whether you like that person or not, if they're going to do wonders for your team, you're going to work with them. Right. You know, yeah. It's like the Doug Gilmore, nobody likes him, or the Brett Hall, you know, all the guys putting their hats on and saying, shut the fuck up, Brett, kind of thing. So regardless, you're going to work. So it's very hard to know, was that the reason, or was the reason that, you know, I broke your shoulder 1 year or something like that, right? So
that's so funny, because I'm the coach now, but you know, and there were times at college, and you know, even into like my first year of pro, where I was labeled the defensive liability, and I was like, okay, I get it, like, right, I get it, but also if I'm gonna go out there and score two goals, then like, you know, the one goal that I let up, I mean, really, I'm still a plus. So is that not enough? Right. I mean,
that's right. Absolutely. There's wow. No glory in D. There's no glory in D.
No. But I mean, I know, you know, it's kind of been in the heavy conversation, but I mean, you had, as a person, I mean, you had a lot that you're battling. I mean, I am really curious as to what the evolution of being a minority, openly gay female hockey player was like, right? There were times, you know, starting on boys hockey, where a lot of us, you know, it was more, what was more prevalent was that we were the girl first. Like, that's what people noticed first for me. And that's, you know, I got called a bitch endless times as like a 6-7-year-old playing hockey. You know, so I'm curious as to, if there were times where, you know, kind of like one of those aspects was more prevalent than the other, or, you know, really what, like, you know, what was the hardest part of, you know, having, you know, those, I mean, being who you were within the sport, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what, I think you definitely nailed it on the head there. Being female outshines being gay, being black, being stinky, like, you know, whatever. It's just for some reason when I was growing up, there weren't any black girls. There were very, very few black guys playing hockey when I was even growing up. And so it's funny because where I grew up, the Toronto Maple Leafs used to be in and around, and Rick Vive, who used to be the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, just to give you a little history, somebody said, hey, you got to come watch this hockey player. So he came out and he was watching, and he couldn't figure it out because by then I used to have long ponytails, right? But by then I cut my hair. And he's like, you know, well, where's this girl? And so then, I'm out there skating, and here I am, a black girl, and that had no effect. It was the fact that he was there because it was a girl playing hockey. It wasn't necessarily a black girl either. And back then, you know, and then when you get the double whammy, right? Oh, she's a black girl. And to be quite honest with you, I was never out until the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I had no choice to be out. Like, I didn't deny myself of anything, or I certainly didn't deny to my teammates or friends, you know, what my preferences were, but I was not by far out. And so it wasn't really until that happened that, you know, myself and my partner said, well, we have children, like, we can't hide this. Like, what are we going to do here? So that's at that time, that's when, you know, and not only that, some Now magazine put my big fat head, right? Like, my nephews call me, Angela, you should see your pictures right here and saying this. And I'm like, going, yeah, Bri, yeah, that's nice. So, but you know, I feel that I have not really, being discriminated for my sexual orientation. But not while playing, I don't feel, yeah, there's the name callings and sometimes, but, sometimes, when I was coaching and stuff, and when I was getting, I think, some successes and stuff like that. There was some incidents with other coaches and stuff. And then they would, like, their ignorance came out and they would say something just upon shaking hands. And it was just absolute ignorance. And so there's been situations like that, but mostly because I was a female, that I feel that that was more the shocker than anything.
All right, and I mean, we've hit you with some heavy questions, so I think we need a little happiness up in here. Okay. I actually had the opportunity to speak to Cammy Granato a little while ago, and the both of you were inducted into the Hall of Fame together in 2010. Mm. And so it was the first time women were ever inducted. And I was kind of curious, because obviously that is a massive deal. I kind of want to know what that day was like. Like, did you have any whispers? Were there any rumors that you were going to get the call, that you were going to get inducted? What did that day look like? And how did it feel to get that call from the Hall of Fame committee?
Yeah, so I got to really be honest with you. I was at a bar during the day I was playing hooky from work, and I can say that now because I just retired, so yeah, I was skipping off, and I was with Ange, and we were just shooting the shit and having some drinks and some wings and stuff like that. Not that I need it, but so we, for some reason, and we never talk about stuff like this, the Hockey Hall of Fame came up, and I'm like, yeah, what about, oh, well, they do their selection or something like that. And I said, oh, okay, you know, whatever. It's like, you want another beer sort of thing. And really never really put any thought into it. And so we came home, and I was up in that room where my Wi-Fi doesn't work very well. And I got a call, and it was from Pat Quinn, and as well as Jim Gregory, who I believe now has passed as well. The whole committee sitting around the table. And so when you're sitting there and you're listening to them, and then they're talking, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like looking at Ange going, Hockey Hall of Fame. And then they're like going, you can't tell anybody. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, it was one of those. And, you know, of course, I probably like read, you know, I already had a couple beer, and, you know, I didn't really, really know what it meant. I just know that they said that I was being inducted. So I really didn't understand what it meant. Like, when I was a little girl playing hockey, my goal really wasn't to play in the NHL. My goal wasn't to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. My goal was to play the best game in the world, and that was just hockey. And whether it was with boys or whether it was girls, I just wanted to play. And so, yeah, it was just a great time. And did you ask a question who I called first?
Tell us. Please do.
My mother, of course. Aww. Of course, my mother. My mother was a great lady. My mother dragged me to the rinks, got me to the rinks. And yeah, I called my mother first. And again, too, she didn't really know, you know, what it means, but she just, you know, as mothers do, that's great, Angela, you know, I'm so proud of you. You know how mothers are. And life changer. What an opportunity. At the time, I didn't know. I was still a typical idiot who didn't really know a whole lot in life, really, and just kind of was going through the motions and that. But from that point, because that was quite a while ago, it's been over 10 years now, now that I realize that it's a platform and an opportunity for change and to grow our sport and to, you know, be an ambassador for our game without prejudice. I'm trying to do my best because my attitude's not really the most polished or my way. So, but, you know, sometimes people don't like to hear how it really is.
I think I love most about kind of your story and your journey is just the fact that you were just playing hockey because you think it's the greatest sport in the world and you absolutely love the game. And I mean, the magnitude and the fact that you were one of the first women inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame is absolutely incredible. And I mean, obviously the hockey world, especially women's hockey, has come pretty far from when you started playing. But I guess I'm curious how you think the hockey world can do a better job of promoting the game so that, you know, young little girls and young little Black girls especially think of hockey as an option and then want to get in and play this great game.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I know that my brother through React Hockey and myself, and I'm working with him to build a diverse program. And we have probably 15 girls on that team, are young girls of color, and we're growing. They move up, we take in more. They move up, we take in more. Now, that's not exclusive, and we want good hockey players, but Is that a way to do it? Because, you know, you see your friends playing, so then you want to play, and it's, and they're in a comfortable situation where they look like me, you know. Not all the other players where you look different. These players look like me. And is that a way, or is that a reverse discrimination? It's really a hard one when it comes to grassroots and bringing in people of color, people of diverse backgrounds. In terms of the women's game itself, in terms of your level of play, each NHL team has to take responsibility for a city team and piggyback. And, you know, I just got into a heated discussion. You know, I shouldn't answer any of those socials, but it's like, oh, well, the Toronto Maple Leafs last year gave a spot. I'm like, they gave them 3 hours of ice to do one event, you know. And I know the New York Rangers are doing and stuff like that. That's not good enough, in my opinion. Now, are they obligated to do something? Yes, it's your city. You need to be inclusive, and inclusive means women in sport. And this is your sport. So yeah, I think that they need to do a year long program, and that means year long team. That's their team. They're the NHL of the world for Toronto, Montreal, New York, Boston, Minnesota, whatever. I don't think you need that many, but you know, if all these teams all of a sudden want that, because trust me, they want that right now. They need that. They also need you guys. They need that figurehead. Unfortunately, you're going to be getting used right now, but take it and run with it, you know, and put it out there, because I really think that's the only way that we're going to advance our game. But the NHL, you need the support, you need the financial backing, you need the resources of staffing, you need the resources of facilities and things like that in order to be sustainable. These one-offs, do nothing for me. And then the NW is another write-off as well, you know, with all there. Girls, we need to get together. You know, it can't be, you know, this and that. We need to piggyback with the men's team, because it's not men or women, it's hockey, right? And so that's the way I see that part. I really think the junior and the junior teams and the midget teams are doing excellent. The skill level of girls today are phenomenal. There's some amazing hockey players out there. And I think that if we don't continue to have these platforms where they can continue to play, and that they're going to get lost. They really are. And they're not going to get the opportunities to play. So, you know, because you got so many teams in the universities here, you got so many teams in the universities in the States, but we need to still draw from all over the world, not just North America. And that will elevate our game even higher.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think that we do need to come together as women in the sport and make that one single platform together. But I guess we'll end on a more positive note. What would you say your most proud moment was as a hockey player?
Oh, you know, that's a tough one, because I had so many. Like, honestly, this is really one of my proud moments. I'm really liking this. Oh, I'm liking meeting you guys. You guys are all so cute. And you got to come and see these girls. Yes.
We're going to have to all get together in person.
Yeah.
Yes.
Down.
No, they are. Come look at it. You got to go. Okay. There's y'all shy. But, she's gonna come say hi.
Hello, everyone. Hi.
She's from Eastern Canada, so she has a little bit of an accent. That's why.
Well,
so she's really nice, Canada, though.
Next to Ontario.
You know, we're taping, eh?
Yes.
Okay. Are you all right with that?
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
So, what's my best moment? What's my best moment? And
personal or a hockey moment?
Hockey, no. Well, personal, I know. Christian, born.
There's been a lot of moments. For me to watch, I think the induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame. They're a classy organization, and they handled everything with class, I must say.
That's it?
Well, that was a big induction, but playing-wise, I think actually two moments. Her last game that I watched with Christian at 6 months old in Montreal, Three Nations, she scored in shootout. That was one. And in Kitchener, watching the Worlds there in person was another, when you won the Worlds there.
Yeah.
For me.
That was good. That was when my dad came, and it was the first time he's seen me play.
Yes.
Wow.
But women's hockey is just absolutely amazing to watch. I played it myself and watched it for years. The people today in women's hockey, the skill level is just amazing. So keep going.
I'm giving you this opportunity because all she does is talk to me and talk. Can you hear her? Because she's like, and everything. So I'm glad that she's able to come in and say how she feels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Thank
Bye,
you.
Everyone.
All right. Okay. So, Hockey Hall of Fame absolutely was a game changer for our life, for our family, everything. For my daughter especially, because don't you know my mom's a Hockey Hall of Famer.
Yes.
She's too much, man. Like some of the stuff that she does. But anyway, it was hard. So I think when she's talking about Montreal, it was because we just had our first son. And I just finished the Olympics, and Mel Davidson brought me back for another one, and my heart was crushed. That was it. I was done. I couldn't do it after that. And so when I did the shootout and scored, and that was fun. But you know what? I really can't pinpoint one special moments. There's been so many, but I think the very first 1990 World Championships will always have a special heart. A special place in my heart, where we were forced to wear pink uniforms and the pink flamingos, and everything was pink, and you know, because they didn't know what to do with women's hockey. So I think that 1990, and you know what, I didn't even make the roster that time too, and either did my friend Geraldine Heaney and stuff, but then to bring together and play the legends of the game that I'm not even sure some of you girls from the States even know, like the Cindy Curleys and the Karen Byes of the world, and a little bit of history on the U.S. side, because very, very competitive. Cammy Granato, of course, and a number of great Canadians as well that you don't hear about. And one of my favorite, I'm sure you've heard about, is Vicky Sonaher and Susie Ewan, who's an Asian descent. And there was some phenomenal hockey players, you know, not just myself, that didn't get that poster. All of them should have had posters. Actually, we did get hockey cards. Again, too, though, we got to get you guys paid. Kwame, yes, how much you paying these girls?
Put it on him. Put it on.
Oh, he's silent now.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's gone. He's doing direct deposit all his money he's making off this show. Pay these girls.
He's gonna send us those e-transfers right now. I can feel it.
That's it.
Okay. Amazing. I love that. That was fantastic. And I mean, Angela, thank you so much for sharing with us today about everything, your experiences, your journey. It's been so awesome. But before you go, we can't let you leave without hearing your top five songs. So I mean, like, picture Canada, USA, big game, gold medal game. What are the five songs that you're getting amped up, you're running on the ice too, you're getting ready for?
So back then, I think we had Walkmans, right?
Like with a CD or a cassette?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was with a CD. Fishing in the Rain was one that we used to play quite a bit. Everybody liked a little bit of country, a little bit. I was all about the R&B, so I listened to mine. But I'm going to tell you, I wrote down some of the songs, and you're going to be shocked that I listened to now. So one is School of Rock, Zach's song. And the remix of America's Most Wanted, Justin Timberlake and Michael Jackson. There's off of American Idol, Brian Justin Crump, Creep. Love that song. Burden in My Head, Soundgarden. And believe it or not, Crazy, Aerosmith. Did I give you five?
Wow.
Yeah. That's a pretty diverse group.
Yeah.
Hey? Yeah. That's it. You got to be diverse in the music and stuff. So
were you the team DJ?
No. Are you kidding? They wouldn't let me touch the music. Never, never. You know what my problem was? Is I would walk into the rink 15 minutes before game time. It was my ritual. I couldn't handle just sitting around in the change room and whatever. And I used to drive my coach nuts. And it's just like, hey, I'm ready to go, coach. I'm ready to go.
Put me in. Yeah.
You know what, Ange? This was so amazing. Like, I just feel like we all got to know you so much, right? Your personality, you're a jokester. You keep it real. It's like Auntie Ange just spitting facts for us all. So we appreciate you. We appreciate you. We love you. You've always been a rock star in all of our hearts, and we respect the heck out of you. So thank you so much for taking the time and chatting with us today.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you as well, Blake and Soraya, Sarah and Kelsey. Love you all. And you guys go out and you guys change the world. Okay. Make this place a better place.
We will. Of course. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
That was powerful. Honestly, I mean, that was like, it was a dream come true. Like, you know, I mean, Blake mentioned it. You grow up not really getting to emulate anyone that looks like you. So getting the chance to like talk to her and just have an incredible conversation, that was the highlight of the month. Absolutely. The highlight of the year, probably, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, as the youngest one here in the group, I think that it's just like, I felt so starstruck, honestly. It was so great to just get her opinion and like hear from somebody of that caliber that looks exactly like us. but I guess in a way, I just feel like we were able to connect and just be sisters like we all are.
Yeah, I mean, the sisterhood is so strong, and as if we couldn't idolize Angela James more. But I mean, that was so fun. And I think we have to thank the boys for letting us take it over, even though I think Kwame, Akil, and Elijah may be out of a job after this. But it was fun, and I hope that we get to do it again. But on behalf of Blake, Kelsey, Soraya, I'm Sarah Nurse, and this is the Soul on Ice podcast. Make sure you turn in next time as we continue to celebrate Black History Month. Queens out. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting the top. Jesus.
decent. Fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power. Statistic of my weakness. Shadow boxing with Tyson. I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table. It's time for lunch. Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie. Progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They soul is showing older. They live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali. He changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee. It's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jaden Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinto. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***. Only really want a house for the kid. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the pass from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. We young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need ya, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. When our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Nice.